The Trump administration wants companies to open up encrypted messages. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Law enforcement officials generally are not fans of what's called end-to-end encryption, messages that cannot be read by anyone except the sender and the recipient. They call it, quote, going dark, and argue that encrypted communications make it harder to investigate or uncover crimes. The Trump administration has held meetings about proposing a ban on end-to-end encryption. And last week, Attorney General Bill Barr said companies should have to give, quote, lawful access to encrypted communications, basically a backdoor. But security experts and even some other government officials say that's not a good idea. Moxie Marlinspike is the founder and CEO of Signal Messenger, a private chat app. I asked him what a ban on encryption or a backdoor to messages might mean.
What it would mean is that people's personal data and communication would be insecure, that it would be vulnerable to hackers or just data leaks, large compromises. But I think even, within the United States government, that's well understood, which is why it's sort of confusing that the Trump administration is, sort of murmuring about this. And the only thing that I can think of is that Trump and the Trump administration in particular have, a certain amount of insecurity about Silicon Valley and tech company CEOs and stuff like that.
Do you think that's really it? I mean, like, it seems like there is at least some, to play the devil's advocate here, legitimate law enforcement arguments about how it's a lot easier to catch bad guys if you can see what they're saying.
The thing that's confusing about that is that, technologies like Signal, we did not invent cryptography. We're just making it accessible. That cryptography, that genie is out of the bottle. And so people who are engaged in high-risk criminal activity are always going to be able to avail themselves of cryptography if they want to. Signal is just making it available to people like you and me.
You sound like you don't think that there's a serious threat, at least from the United States government, in terms of attempting to force loopholes or weaken end-to-end encryption.
Well, I mean, I am not a policy expert, but at this point, it does seem clear that public sentiment is definitely in the favor of more privacy and security. It's very clear that, national security and the United States government itself benefits from these technologies. Mm-hmm. And so it wouldn't make sense to, take a step back there at this point.
Right. So if you had to characterize the split in the argument, like on the one hand, you may have law enforcement, this law enforcement argument that says, these apps provide a place for criminals to hide. On the other hand, you might have some of the same law enforcement people saying it also protects our secrets, just to put a fine point on it.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's possible that there are elements within law enforcement that are just less focused on, protecting or, protecting national security or protecting our own secrets or protecting, industrial secrets. They're not looking at the bigger picture.
Are the policies in Australia a problem for you? They've taken steps to ban or weaken end-to-end encryption. What does that mean for how Signal functions there?
It doesn't mean anything. I mean, that legislation was also, very confusing to people at the time. Huh. And, so far it seems to have just weakened Australia, that there are startups and tech companies who are now reconsidering having offices there. Fewer people are probably being hired as a result. And, it doesn't seem to have resulted in any clear benefit from a law enforcement perspective.
How much of this conversation ultimately is going to come down to trust and who people want to associate with? Like, it's one thing for Facebook-owned WhatsApp to say that it's end-to-end encrypted, or even Apple to tell me that iMessage is. But if I'm a consumer who doesn't know that much about how this technology works, does it at some point come down to who I decide I'm going to believe?
Yeah. I mean, that's a really interesting question. I mean, the fundamental idea behind cryptography and these types of technologies like end-to-end encryption is that you don't have to trust anyone. The idea is to try and remove, trust in people or an organization, that if something is end-to-end encrypted, you don't have to trust the people who are hosting that data in order to do the right thing with it, because the way the technology is designed, there's literally nothing they could do. I mean, it's just opaque data that tells them nothing. You know, I think what's complicated is that it's difficult for people to conceptualize that, even if, you know, experts in the field tell them that that's the case. And, you know, there is also like a sort of popular media perception of, you know, technology and cryptography that sort of anything can be like cracked or whatever, you know, that it's like you just get a smart person in the room and they like type on the keyboard and, you know, the information is available.
I mean, they have to type really fast, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it won't work.
Clickety-clack, yeah. You know, so there are a lot of questions there around, you know, public perception and trying to communicate exactly what's going on to users. But on the other hand, you know, like, you know, our objective as an organization is just to make private communication accessible and ubiquitous. And so, you know, from our perspective, you know, our largest goal is just to have as many people using this technology as possible, even if they don't even know that it's there. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what's actually going to protect people's user data.
Moxie Marlin-Spike is the founder and CEO of Signal Messenger. Politico reported in June that any legislation banning encryption was unlikely to pass in Congress, but the issue isn't going dark anytime soon. And now for some related links. You can read that Politico story on our website, marketplacetech.org. It said that, not surprisingly, the FBI and the Department of Justice were in favor of making companies create backdoors in their encryption, but that the Commerce and the State Department were worried that such moves could compromise our government's security because government agencies also rely on encrypted communications. They also fear it could hurt diplomatic relationships and economic relations, too, because, as another story in our links points out, a backdoor in encryption would basically let the U.S. government do what it's accusing Huawei and the Chinese government of doing, which is let the government spy on the traffic that's being routed through a private company. In fact, efforts to ban encryption actually go back as far as the late 1990s. One bill that actually did pass through a House committee back then, but didn't go to a full vote, would have made it a federal crime to create or distribute encryption products that didn't include a backdoor. The going dark conversation went on through the George W. Bush administration and into the Obama administration, with the FBI drafting some backdoor legislation again in 2012. The conversation came back around again in 2016 after the mass shooting in San Bernardino, California, when police wanted Apple to help them open up the shooter's iPhone by creating new software to break its encryption. Now, there is no doubt that encryption can make it harder for law enforcement to do its job. Civil rights advocates say it's not supposed to be easy, and there are limits on law enforcement's ability to spy on people for a reason. Technologists say the problem is once you create a key to a lock, in this case, the encryption is the lock, the government or police might say they're the only ones with the key. But because of hacking or spying or even blackmail, that's just not the case. Once a key exists, the lock is basically no good. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.